So, how do I define a New Yorker? Well, it really comes down to two factors, I think. You have to be living here for 10 years. And then the second one, which is much easier to achieve, is you have to cry in public.
Welcome back to NYC Local Guides. I am your host, Jennifer O'Brien, and I interview New Yorkers from creatives to CEOs and everyone in between. For more NYC resources like ebooks and videos, visit nyclocalguides.com. If you've ever wondered what it takes to be a New Yorker or just want to hear some crazy stories, keep listening.
This is a Brooklyn-bound 2 express train. The next stop is...
So tell me more about you. Where were you born, and do you consider yourself a New Yorker?
I was born in upstate New York in a town called Saratoga Springs, and then I moved to New York City when I was 18 for college. And yes, I do consider myself a New Yorker. I think most people that live in New York either grew up here or they moved here. New York City is a city of immigrants. You know, we have 8.6 million people that live here. Most of them moved here from other places. So how do I define a New Yorker? Well, it really comes down to two factors, I think. You have to be living here for 10 years. And then the second one, which is much easier to achieve, is you have to cry in public.
I love that so much, and it is so true.
Yes.
Except why 10 years?
Because you can't call yourself a New Yorker after a year or two, you know? At least there has to be a qualifying factor to it, in my opinion. And you really start to understand the heart of the city, I think, fully after living here for a certain amount of time. And I just like that 10-year marker. New York's a place that a lot of people come to, and they can't handle the intensity of it. So it's one of those cities that if you don't like the hustle, it can spit you out very quickly. And so I think a true New Yorker can handle that really intense environment. And to be able to survive in a city like New York that is so competitive and filled with just people trying to achieve their dreams, I think 10 years is a good number there.
Have you lived here for 10 years?
Yes. I've lived here for 12 years now.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then when you got to that moment at 10 years, did what happened? Did the city celebrate? Like, how did this...
The city celebrated. We had a giant party.
Tell me what 10 years felt like.
10 years felt like I really knew what I was talking about, and I knew exactly how to communicate the city. 10 years is when I started my YouTube channel.
Oh, that's a cool color correlation.
Yeah.
I like that.
And 10 years is when I was comfortable enough to really call myself a New Yorker, to be able to really feel confident, to give people advice and tips and provide insider information that I didn't really fully understand when I first got here and I was going to college here. There's certain stages in life. And I've gone through a lot of them in New York. I mean, I came here for school. I got my first job here. I quit my first job here. I started my own business here. And so I've seen a lot of sides of the city, and the city's seen a lot of sides of me. And in 10 years, that was kind of the moment where I was like, yeah, let's share all of this knowledge that I've accumulated about the city for the last 10 years, good and bad. You know, if you watch my YouTube channel, I'm very open about the things that I think are terrible here, but also the things I love. That's the point, you know? That's the point where I was comfortable at 10 years and that's how I celebrated it in a way that I didn't even really understand when I first started the channel.
That's awesome. I really love that correlation. That's so cool. And then do you consider yourself a native or a local? What do you think those words mean in the New York sense?
It's tricky because I grew up in New York State. And if anyone's a New Yorker, we don't consider people from outside of New York City as like a New Yorker. Because New York State, upstate, has a completely different mindset. I mean, it really feels like you're in a different country. And so I think if we're talking New Yorker and we're defining New Yorker as someone from New York City, right?
Yes.
So I would say a native New Yorker is someone that was born here in New York City. So I probably wouldn't be considered a native New Yorker, which is unfortunate, but, you know, I have to...
That's okay.
It's the reality of it.
And I think that you would be definitely considered a local.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think a local... I think...
by definition,
you
what
can't,
I...
Yeah. Like, you can become a local New Yorker, but you can't become a native New Yorker. This is my opinion, of course.
I like that. I think that's a really good distinction. I totally agree. I think that native is born here. Local is someone who's living here. And I think that you can totally become a local by living here for an extended period of time. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has to be 10 years exactly. Mm-hmm. I had a friend recently, actually. I attended her 10-year party of, look, I'm a New Yorker. And I thought it was the funniest thing. I was just like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe you're having a party about this. But it is, for some reason, the number 10 years that a lot of people attach to.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, I kind of think it's more about the experiences. So... Mm-hmm. I gave you a little bit of homework, and I was like, okay, I want to hear, like, what are your experiences where you felt like, this is when I'm totally a New Yorker, you know, the crying on the streets, like, tell me about that. Like, what did it feel like, those three experiences, when you felt like, wow, I am officially a New Yorker now?
So, interestingly, I believe the moments where I felt like a New Yorker the most were when I was outside of New York, because I fully see the contrast there. One of the main things, and I travel a lot, by the way, I've been to like 45 countries now, so I'm always comparing and contrasting, and that really helps me like make videos about New York, because I understand like an outsider's perspective of the city. So I reflect on this a lot, is like, you know, when did I really feel New Yorker the most? And one of them is open and closing hours of stores. Like, this is very frustrating to me. In New York, everything's open till like midnight at least. And bars, they close at 4 a.m. At the earliest.
Yeah.
Whereas I was just in Arizona and everything closed, like half the stores were closing at like 7.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't, that is not a thing in New York. And the restaurants would be closing at 9, you know. And so a lot of the time I forget this when I'm in other cities. And I'll just be like, oh, let's go to the restaurant now. And it's 9 o'clock and then everything's closed. And I didn't plan ahead. Another one is that distance. So I've noticed that when I'm in New York, I'm much more willing to like travel an hour to get somewhere. Whereas if I'm in upstate New York visiting my parents, if someone says, like, let's go here and it takes an hour, everyone, including myself in upstate New York, we're like, that's really far. Yeah, let's not do that. Maybe we should get a hotel, you know. And in New York, it's such a big city. I mean, New York City, it's one of the biggest cities in the U.S. Just for comparison, Brooklyn, if it was its own city, would be the fourth largest city in the U.S. You actually taught me that in your video on 101 Things About New York, so thank you.
I love that fact. I keep saying it's one
crazy.
Of my favorites.
I'm shocked at that fact. It's amazing. Insane. So that's one of the things. It's like so many people live here that people are much more willing to travel an hour to get to work or an hour to go to a restaurant or something like that. So that's another one. I notice this a lot when I'm in other cities, just thinking, oh my God, that's so far though. It's 45 minutes. But if I was in New York, I would say like, oh, but let's just go. And then the last one is just the drive and motivation of the people that live here. Everyone comes to New York to accomplish their dreams. We have people from all over the world that come here. You know, as Frank Sinatra said, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And I really do believe that. And I think that's reflected in the people. And sometimes when I go to certain areas, I've noticed that I don't experience that extreme drive and desire to accomplish dreams and like get to the next level and or like climb the corporate ladder or get that promotion that I've noticed in New York City. One of the things that I particularly love about New York and something that I've found that I can always rely on here is no matter what your goals are, you can find someone that will help you accomplish those. I mean, both of my videographers I found in New York, and both of them came to New York from other places to become a videographer.
That's
know?
A good point. Yeah.
Right. So every
attracts all those
it attracts the creative types, the driven types, and that's one of the things that like makes me be like, wow, yeah, I'm in New York. Like, because everyone here is so driven and motivated. And I love that, because as someone that's driven and motivated, I can really relate to people like that.
Agreed.
You know, bouncing ideas off of each other and making businesses and stuff like that.
It's so great. I love that about New York. And do you ever see yourself, dare I say, like leaving?
Oh, gosh.
Living somewhere else?
I don't ever see myself leaving forever, but, you know, I hate winter.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm actually leaving to go to South Africa in a few days for a whole month.
I love it.
And that's just to avoid winter. So, yeah, I leave temporarily, but I don't think I'll ever permanently leave New York, especially since my family is here and my friends are here. Yeah. And my business is here.
Yeah, it's true.
So, no, I don't think so.
What are some stereotypes about New York that you think are true or false?
Oh. I think a lot of movies that were made in the 70s and 80s and 90s portraying New York show New Yorkers as being very hostile and having the city be very, very dangerous. And that's completely false, in my opinion. I mean, I'm literally walking around New York every day doing tours. And false.
I set up my camera on the corner of the street and I walk far away from it. It's like, I've never had issues.
Right. No. I mean, it's like any city, just be aware of your surroundings. There's no increased danger of New York. And part of the reason why the movies that were in the 70s, 80s, and 90s did portray that is because that's how New York was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. It wasn't safe. But now it's very safe. So that's the biggest one, I think.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because safety is definitely something that people are constantly asking about. And it's really not as big of a concern as it definitely was previously.
Yes.
So as we're talking about safety, it could be related to that or not. What is the craziest thing you've ever seen in New York or experienced?
Do you really want me to tell you this one?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Tell
me. It's kind of gross.
Oh, no. But tell me anyway.
As a New Yorker, you see a lot of weird things. And it takes a lot to be shocking. But the most shocking thing I've ever seen was in Times Square. You get a lot of interesting characters there. And there was a elderly woman. I would say she was probably between the ages of 80 and 90, based off of her appearance, wearing a dominatrix outfit, a short skirt, like little bra, and that's it. And she was screaming at the top of her lungs, looking up at the sky with her hands and legs like straight down. And she was peeing.
Well, that was not what I expected at all.
Yeah. So I can think of another one if you don't want to include that one.
I mean, you know what? That's New York for you. You never know what to expect. I'd love to hear another one. Go for it. I thought you were going to say the time we saw poop on a subway. It smelled really bad.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. No, that was nothing compared to the other story.
Yeah. What's your other story?
No, the story I just told you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just so weird and
unfortunate. So something shocking, right?
Shocking, crazy, could be good, could be bad.
Well, this one's more creepy.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so I used to work at Disney Theatrical at the New Amsterdam Theater, which is haunted by a ghost named Olive Thomas. Yes.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I am terrified of ghosts. You're aware of this because of that haunted, that thing we had to do in Jamaica that one time.
Yeah.
Which was terrifying to me. And so when I took the job, I didn't know it was haunted. Otherwise, I would have been like, yeah, no thanks. Because the office is haunted. And there was just one incident that, like, I feel like something about it was just off. The ghost was mainly seen on this one floor, and I was in the theater late at night, and I had gone out to grab dinner, and I was going back to go back to my desk to finish working, and I pressed my floor, and the elevator doors closed, and then the elevator moved, and then they suddenly opened again, closed, went to the floor that Olive Thomas has been seen at, opened, closed, and then went down to my floor. And I was like, oh, my God. I was so scared. It was so scary. I didn't see
her.
Did you
take the stairs after that?
But it just, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how else to explain. No, there's no stairs there.
There's no stairs.
It's complicated because it's a theater house. Just trust me on that.
Okay.
There's no way to get to the office.
That's so scary. And then to still have to take that elevator down, knowing that there might be something like
it creepy. Just felt really weird. Like, it felt like there was a presence in the elevator with me.
Wow. I didn't know that you had that experience. Yeah. That's crazy.
That was crazy. Yeah. So that's probably a shocking. That's a shocking story for you.
Wow. Okay. So on a lighter note, what is your favorite Broadway show?
Ooh, that's tricky. I have like different favorites for different occasions. So I'm a big South Park fan, and Book of Mormon is hilarious. Written by the same people who created South Park. It's very crude. So if you don't like Family Guy or South Park, I don't recommend the show. And also, you should definitely be mature. No kids. Then I love, for like a family night out, The Lion King is my go-to. And that says a lot because I've seen The Lion King like 25 times because I used to work there. And normally I don't like places that I worked, and it's still good. And then for my favorite one for like Broadway songs is Wicked. I think they have the best soundtrack.
I love Wicked
so much. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. Yeah.
It's my favorite.
So that's.
Those are really good ones though, because it's like for each
they're
audience.
Different situations. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard because there's so many great Broadway shows. It's like trying to choose like a.
And they're constantly changing. It's
they're
hard,
constantly changing.
But those are definitely classics.
And those are classics.
Been around.
Yes. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I love that. Really well, good choices. Okay, so also, is there a best age to be here in New York, or to travel to New York, or to visit and live here? Is there a best age? Yeah.
I think this is really a city for young adults. Like, as a young adult, I mean, I'm a little biased saying that, but it is tricky with kids, I've learned. There's a lot of restrictions. Like, you can't go into, like, pretty much any bar after 4 p.m., and some bars don't let them in at all, so that's difficult. And then finding babysitters is very expensive. If your baby is young and they can't walk, you have to use a stroller. And the whole accessible world is terrible in New York.
Yeah, you did an amazing video about accessibility, and I love that so much. Tell us more.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So I was working with my friend who is in a wheelchair, and we made a video on like the truth about accessibility in New York, and it's eye-opening. I mean, only 20% of subways are accessible.
Yeah.
So it takes on average like 3 times longer to get anywhere if you are in a wheelchair. And so if you have a young child and you're using a stroller, it's just as annoying, you know? Of course you can like kind of maneuver to a certain extent, but it's very annoying. And then for like seniors, there's a lot of walking in New York. I think that's something a lot of people don't realize the extent of. They know that you have to walk a lot, but they don't really understand. Like, if you're sightseeing, you're probably going to walk 3 to 4 miles that day. And for seniors, that can be very exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say it's like a young adult city, or even like just in a more, I would say like probably 21-year-olds to like seniors in good health that are comfortable walking. That's probably like the best age range. But it's great for young adults because there's like an amazing party scene. So if you're into that, you're going to love it. Dating is the worst, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell us, why is dating the worst? Wait, have
you
dated?
You want me to tell them?
I know. I should tell this. Wait, have you dated? Does that? Yeah. Tell me a little. Oh, no.
I mean, I did date. So I started dating Louis when I was 21.
Yeah.
But I did go to college in New York.
Sure.
And trying to date in New York for those 4 years was the worst because, just like I had talked earlier about the drive and motivation and how competitive people are in this city, the problem is no one wants to settle, ever. Yes. Everyone's always looking for the next best thing. Everyone will find a reason why they don't want to date that person, and normally ends up being something just irrelevant, like, oh, well, they don't roll the toothpaste the right way, and it's really annoying. Like, you know, like, I can find someone that's better, that doesn't have annoying quirks. Well, guess what? Everyone has annoying quirks when it comes down to it, and that's what relationships relationships are about communication and compromising. And I think a lot of people in New York are not compromising individuals. They come here because they want to make money and they want to be successful and they'll do anything for it. And they want a spouse that is exactly the perfect match for them in every possible way. And you can't force someone to be exactly the perfect person. No one's going to be perfect.
Wow, that is such good advice. Thank you so much. I love that, and it's so true. I feel like dating in New York, because I feel like a broken record talking about how it sucks and all this stuff. So I like to hear other people mention it as well, and it's like, it's so true. Dating here, everyone has, you know, this perfect ideal in their mind, and that means that people don't settle down until a lot later.
Yeah.
I find it's crazy. Okay.
It is crazy.
Are you ready for the power hour? The lightning round. It's happening. Are you ready?
I'm so ready. Yay.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, so I've built it up so much, but basically it is, I'm going to say, you know, a couple words and just, you just spit out the first thing that comes to your mind.
All right.
If we, you know, if for some reason, like, we don't like it, you can say it again or whatever, but like,
okay,
this is going to be a fun, like, back and forth. Okay. Let's start easy. What's your favorite New York City emoji?
Oh, I guess the only one I really know of is the Statue of Liberty lady, but the one I use the most is probably the hard eyes emoji.
I like
that. Or the crying emoji. I don't know what that says about me.
Statue of Liberty it is.
Yeah.
Favorite classic New York City food?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is pizza. Yeah. I think pizza in most other places just doesn't compare.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. And then favorite pizza place?
Prince Street. And you know we disagree on this one, but Sarah, Bleecker Sarah. Street is excellent as well.
I love Bleecker. Bleecker's like
I like really a great. Thicker crust. And I feel like Prince Street is just like way more delicious, in my opinion, but I think Bleecker Street is great as well. It just depends on my mood and what I'm looking for when it comes to bread. I can normally not finish a Prince Street slice because it's so thick.
And how long do you wait online in Prince Street pizza?
You know what?
Be honest.
So, yeah, that's the other reason why I've started going to Bleecker Street more. Yes. Prince Street, you have to wait like 45 minutes to an hour outside, but there's a hack. You know about this?
Can you order it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not as big a fan as you are.
Oh, so you can order it and then literally you can order it and pick it up in like 20 minutes.
Oh,
but you have to order a whole piece of pizza, a whole pizza.
Pie.
Yes. Yeah. That's the only thing. So if you're in a group of like four,
that's a great hack.
Then it's absolutely a better option just to order it.
Okay.
Whereas Bleecker Street has seating inside, which is Prince Street does not.
I like that they have seating.
I do too. They also have a bathroom, which is rare fine.
That is so true. Okay, so what is your favorite dessert spot?
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, I really like the cookie dough place, because I love cookie dough, raw cookie dough. Yeah. But I know some of you are like, ew, you can't eat raw cookie dough. All of it is safe to eat. They made it safe to eat. There's a lot of really great dessert spots. It's hard to choose. I mean, New York has 27,000 restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, if we are doing a lightning round, that's my answer.
Awesome. And then most expensive thing you've eaten in New York?
Oh, Sushi Nakazawa. I took Louie out. You know this place?
No, I don't.
Oh, so I took Louie out for a date night because literally I have not stopped working this whole year. It's been crazy. And I was like, we're going out. And we're like actually going out as a couple and we don't have to cover it. And they do a 20 course omakase menu at a chef's table and it cost $450.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Was it as good as it, like, was it worth it?
Hell yeah. I mean, yes, it was great.
That's okay.
It was so good. It's so filling. Like I was full after the 10th. And you have to remember, omakase, it's individual pieces of sushi. So 20 courses sounds overwhelming, but just imagine like one.
Okay.
But the thing is, the head chef, he like sizes you up and makes the sushi for you. And so as the courses continued, he noticed I was getting full. And so he started like making them smaller and for me. But like for Louis, he kept the same size. And it was an incredible experience. My only complaint with them is for a glass of wine, it was $25. So I didn't want to pay that much. I can buy two bottles for that. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, no thanks. I'll just enjoy the sushi, which was phenomenal. So I ordered a green tea instead without looking at the price, and that cost $13.
Oh no, that's really
ugh. It has a Michelin star though. Yeah. But it's like a special occasion night. Like literally the only people there were people with their wedding anniversaries, or it's like a date night, a special date night.
That's place. A really great special date night, definitely. And your least expensive meal.
Well, you forced me to go to 99 Cent Pizza once, which was disgusting.
It was not disgusting. It was delicious. Just the best. Dollar slice.
But that's my least expensive that I had to pay for.
Yes.
If we're talking like free.
You can say free.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a million free. One of the benefits for anyone out there listening of being an influencer is that all these restaurants invite you. So there's been many, many meals that I've gotten for free. So that's been really legit.
Yeah, yeah. Very true.
But also there's something called the Skint. It's a daily newsletter kind of thing that gives you all of this information about free and budget-friendly things happening in the city. And they always have like a free food thing that's happening on there. And I've like gone and gotten stuff from there before I even was like doing YouTube. And you can get like free pizza and like free food and stuff like that.
Yeah. Right after college, I signed up for that and was like, free meals anywhere. I was like, I'll wait in line.
It's totally worth it. Totally worth it. Yeah.
Favorite hidden gem?
I mean, I'd have to say my Secrets of New York tour. That's so
that's true. It's kind of perfect. Yeah. If you had to pick one secret, it doesn't have to be on the tour, like thing that not a lot of people know.
Well, I'll tell you one secret that's on the tour. Let's give you a little taste.
Oh my goodness.
So there's a building in the financial district that has a plane runway and a World War I biplane on it.
That is so cool. I only learned that from your video, and I was just like, no one knows that.
That's I know. So it's crazy. So if you're in any of the surrounding buildings and you look at this building, you can actually, it looks like there's an actual airport, there's like a runway, a plane runway, and a plane sitting there ready to take off, a full-size plane, you guys, on the roof.
Why is it there?
So the owner of the building put it there in 1969 because he just likes to like mess around with people's minds. He's like a very creative guy. And so that whole building at 77 Water Street, that's the name of the building or the location, has all these different types of like very interesting secrets and random things. If you go there, I mean, there's a 99 cent penny candy store that's hidden on the ground floor. That's literally like a house, a wooden house. There's a koi pond. There's a, there's a bunch of modern art. So
that's so cool.
There's a lot of interesting random things there. Yeah.
Oh my God. People need to take your tour. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
Favorite place for a walk?
Oh, I love Central Park, but you know what? It's like very crowded. So the Hudson River Greenway, I love actually longboarding there.
Yeah. That's a great
I love going there because it's so beautiful and it just stretches the whole island of Manhattan, and you're along the water, but yet you get to see kind of the city transition from the financial district all the way to the Cloisters if you make it up there.
Very true. I love the Cloisters.
Yeah.
Favorite building in the skyline?
So I really love this building called 70 Pine. I used to live there, and
I got to visit you there. It was gorgeous.
So pretty. I love it. It actually was built as a prototype for the Empire State Building.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was built before the Empire State Building. They were testing out like the styles. And so a lot of visitors actually will confuse it with the Empire State Building.
That's so crazy. I did not realize that.
Yeah. It's an Art Deco style. It's absolutely stunning. Used to be a office building. Art Deco style again, so gorgeous, but now it's a apartment building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a very upscale luxury building.
It's very, very nice.
Gorgeous, gorgeous spot. Favorite place for views of the skyline?
Dumbo. Done.
Awesome. Boom. Easy. I love it. Favorite bridge?
the Brooklyn Bridge. I know that's basic, but the Brooklyn Bridge has a really interesting story, and it's so iconic, and it's really pretty, and I love it. And it's also connected to Dumbo, so.
Easy. Two in one. Yeah. Boom. And then favorite museum.
I love the Museum of Moving Image in Astoria.
Yes. You, so tell me more about that. For
it's a museum all about film. And so you learn how movies are made. And as a filmmaker myself, I guess you could call me that. Well, yeah, I make movies. Yeah. I make videos. Yeah. I just really like to understand like how other people do it. And one of the things that I love about it is the interactive element there. On the second floor, you can actually learn how to do voiceovers, how to select music, and you get to play around and see how music can impact the feeling of a scene. And there's a lot of other aspects where you're just learning how they go from concept to execution of a movie.
I love that.
It's free on Fridays.
Ooh, perfect. I love that. And then favorite public piece of art?
Does street art count as this? Okay, so totally. There's an artist and I love his artwork. He has street art scattered throughout the city. Some of it, if you walk the High Line, you can see one of his famous pieces. It's Mother Teresa and Gandhi.
Yes.
And it's rainbow, like the way it's very colorful. I love his style. His name is Eduardo Cobra, and you can see all of his artwork online so you get an idea, but it's super colorful, made in a very beautiful, like, kind of boxy like pattern, but he does portraits of people that have impacted the world in a positive way. It's really, really beautiful. I'm just looking at it now and I'm like, this reminds me, I've been meaning to buy a print for my apartment. So
I love that. No, that's so smart. Okay, favorite subway station?
I love the City Hall subway station.
I'm obsessed with
it. I think it's so beautiful.
It's so stunning.
But you know what else is nice now? Because it's clean for once?
Yeah.
Is the new Hudson Yards station.
That's true.
It's so clean. I'm like, wow, this is really refreshing to see for once.
So true. And then your favorite neighborhood?
Well, Dumbo, again. I mean, I just love Dumbo. I love the variety of... There's great restaurants. There's one great bar, which is all I need. If I have a go-to bar that has a solid view.
So what's the go-to bar?
Harriet's Rooftop, epic views of the Brooklyn Bridge. Get their cocktail with the hibiscus in it, the ice cubes. I forgot the name of it. It's phenomenal. And then the Time Out Market's there. My favorite restaurant is there, Vinegar Hill House. And it has the most Instagrammable locations in the city. It's best.
It's so true. All the locations in one place. So many good photos. Your favorite celebrity sighting?
Well, it's not really a sighting because I used to work for Disney, so I met a lot of celebrities. But I met Macklemore when I was like absolutely obsessed with him because I think he's such a conscious rapper. Like he raps about like actual issues. And that was probably the only time that I legit was, like, starstruck.
That's so... Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Love
it. It was great.
Yes. Your favorite famous New Yorker in general that you haven't met but maybe is from New York?
I really like Anthony Bourdain.
Yes. No, he's done a lot of beautiful videos, great content.
I kind of want to be like him in the positive way, you know? Yeah. Like, I think he's such an amazing storyteller and... I would love to be able to tell stories the way he does. I think he's relatable, yet you get educated, and it's interesting content what he makes.
Very true. So, okay. Do you have a favorite New York City quote? It's okay if you don't.
Well, I like the, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, because I really believe
it's
that's
like
true.
It's like you're getting ahead on my questions before I even ask them. You're so right. And then... Favorite dive bar?
Oh, geez. Well, I'm going to say this for Louis because he's obsessed. Louis is my husband, by the way. Rudy's. Rudy's is on 44th Street and 9th Avenue. It was one of the original speakeasies. And one of the cool things about Rudy's is with every drink, you get a free hot dog. And they make their own beer, which only costs $3 a glass.
I love
it. Best deal ever. $3 beer and a free hot dog. You're welcome.
Yes, you do not get that in New York. That is rare.
Yeah.
So your favorite speakeasy?
Garfunkel's. I was there yesterday.
I love it.
I love Garfunkel's. They're excellent cocktails. They have a 1920s vibe, which I'm all about.
Same.
You have to go through a safe door to get in. And if you're hungry, you can go downstairs where they have the burgery serving epic hamburgers. Well, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, you name it. Juicy, delicious, expertly made.
I love it. Amazing. And then your favorite season in New York City?
I never used to like this, but I really like fall now, and here's why. Okay. Since doing these tours, being outside in the summer, it is super humid and so hot, and I am Irish, and so when it is hot, you can't wear as much clothing, and so I get sunburned constantly, and it's really bad for my skin.
Yeah.
And then winter is too cold, so my favorite month is September.
That's a good, perfect time to be in New York.
Perfect weather.
Yeah.
It's like not too hot, not too cold. It's not humid. It's perfection.
I love it. Any advice for someone getting a job here?
Get ready to work a lot of hours to get ahead, because everyone's competitive and everyone's trying to get the same things as you. And the only way you can stand out here is to do something really, really well and work harder and more efficiently, most importantly, and smarter than everyone else.
I love that. And then advice for someone moving here?
Save at least $10,000 before coming here.
That's a great piece of advice. Some people come here with $0 and they just think that everything's going to click and work very quickly, but it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So important. Describe your dream New York City apartment.
Okay. So I'm currently trying to get it.
Yay!
So I found an apartment that I love.
And don't say the exact location.
I'm not going to. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, right in the heart of the city, and it has its own private terrace that can fit like 10 people comfortably with the most amazing view. And you're probably thinking, wow, Sarah, that's probably $15,000 a month. Well, it's not. It's a reasonable price, and I'm not revealing what it is because I really want it, and I hope no one takes it. And that's really my goal. I mean, if that's my dream right now, if I was like a millionaire, which, by the way, one in every 21 New Yorkers are millionaires.
Yes, it's such a crazy fact, but it's, I know, there's so many here.
Gosh, I wish only because then I could get a really great apartment. That's a struggle. All
but
New Yorkers
tell me
want
your next step apartment also.
Well, I would like laundry and units.
Yes.
An outdoor ideally space, at least 2 bedrooms. Well, ideal, I guess, like, I probably have to have kids soon. Probably like a 3-bedroom. So then one room's an office, room's a bedroom, and then another room's like for Louis' beer equipment or whatever else is happening, you know, because both Louis and I work from home.
Yeah.
So we really do need at least a 2-bedroom. Otherwise, it's just, you can't, it's too cluttered.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is the worst New York City apartment you've lived in, like situation-wise? Like, doesn't have to be a specific thing, but like, did it have cockroaches? Did it have mice? Did it have no laundry? Like,
so I think that's an interesting question because it really depends on the scenario. There's 3 factors that everyone wants in an apartment. And in New York, you can only get 2 of them. So here are the 3 factors. And if you're trying to move to New York, choose 2 of them because that's all you're going to find. So either you get a good price, a good location, or a good amount of space.
I like that. That's
you can't find accurate all 3 together. It's impossible. So right now, I have a good price and a good space, but the location is horrendous. So I hate it so much, and that's why I'm moving. I've never really lived in a dirty apartment. We did live in an apartment once in Queens where Louis woke up one night with a 2-inch cockroach on his face.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, my God, no! That's
and
terrible.
And he doesn't scream ever, and he's like, ah! And he, like, whacked it off his face, and it was so big, I heard it hit the ground. Like, it sounded like a rock hitting the ground.
Oh my
and
God.
It landed on its back, and its legs
oh
were
no,
like,
oh, no. Oh, my God. I'm going to have nightmares about this. Thank you so much. It's a nightmare of it on my face.
Here's an insider tip. Don't ever get a ground floor apartment.
Yes. No, seriously.
Because that's what it was. It was a ground floor apartment, and it was near where everyone put their garbage outside for the garbage to collect.
People forget, but you really, ground, don't do it. Yeah. Basements, don't do it. And then if you're anywhere near that garbage area, you really, you have no control, even if you're the cleanest person.
Yeah.
There's just so much you can't control.
And both Louis and I are very clean. And yeah. So we knew it was risky getting the ground floor apartment, but it was the cheapest one because it's the hardest to like sell because yeah. of that reason. Yeah. And we would never do a ground floor again.
I completely agree. Yeah. I had a second floor apartment, another apartment in Williamsburg, and they, oh my goodness. Oh God, let me prepare myself for being able to talk about this story because it's a little bit like, it hurts a little.
Oh God.
And it wasn't even as bad as yours. So basically, I had another apartment in Williamsburg, and I unfortunately woke up to a little, like, weird noise at, like, 6 a.m., and I was just like, what is that noise? And then I, like, turned on my light and saw the biggest cockroach I've ever seen crawling over my stuff, and I screamed. I called my parents, and I was like, I'm moving. And I actually did move, like, very
for
shortly
real?
After that.
Oh, my God.
Because I was subletting a couple, like, months at a time, and I was just like, no.
Not
like,
doing it anymore.
Not going to happen. If that big thing lives there, technically, it means that it's lived long enough that, like, there's probably not a lot of other ones there. So that
that's a valid point.
So in some ways, in a weird way, it's a better thing. When they're small, that's when you should be afraid because then there's a lot of them, little ones.
Yeah, that's true. You don't see a lot of big ones together.
Yeah, oh, God. So I'm already creeped out, and I need to, like, not think about this because I'm going to have nightmares.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst thing about New York, but it's something that we have to accept is the cockroaches. And
anytime you have 8.6 million people living in a very small space, you're going to get cockroaches.
Yeah. We have to end it on a happy note, though. So please tell me something good. One of my questions was, what do you wish was different about New York City?
I wish winter didn't exist.
Yes. The winters can be so cold and so yeah.
I really believe rainy. That if New York City had, like, the climate of Hawaii, everyone would live here.
Yes.
Everyone would live here. And so one of the things about New York is, like, in order to live in a city like this, which I love, I don't want to leave it ever, you have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit with the weather. So that eliminates a lot of people,
yeah,
you know?
It's true.
Because it can be rainy, windy, all of the above, snowy, hail, freezing.
Okay, we have to end it on a happy note, too. So, like, do you have any, like, good... So we've talked about a lot of negatives, like, ugh, cockroaches. Mm-hmm. Any good positive inspiration for people who
yes,
are...
I can yeah. do this for
okay.
you.
Okay, thank you.
So the thing that keeps me coming back to New York again and again is, like, it's a common theme. It's like, if you really dream that you can make it here and you dedicate yourself, you can succeed. And New York is a city that I went to college in. I got my first job, and I realized very quickly, like, that there is so much more that you can accomplish in this city than just, like, working for someone else. And it's because of New York City that I've been able to start my own business and become a successful entrepreneur and have a YouTube channel and, like, get people having a great time in the city too by, like, taking some of my recommendations. And without New York and the passion that it has brought me, I would never be able to do that. There's so many people that have helped me along the way to starting my own business and having a successful, like, social media channel in this city that there's nowhere else I think it could have worked as well. And so I will always thank New York City for that.
Oh, that is such a beautiful note. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for being on the podcast. Tell us, where do people follow you?
You can go to sarahfunky.com. Everything's there.
Awesome.
Yeah. But yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This was so
anytime.
Great.
Anytime. Oh my gosh. I always love talking to you. So put a couple mics in front of us. We talk about New York all the time.
We could just talk for hours.
Yes, I agree. So I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more NYC resources like ebooks and videos, visit nyclocalguides.com.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.